I've entitled the sermon this morning, How to Succeed in Business. And of course, so once again, we're going to be going through Genesis chapter 30, starting with the first 25, working our way into chapter 31. Now, the big idea, what I want you to take away from this, is whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So good, there's a good scripture for you. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would bless it as we go through it today. Lord, and that we would get your big idea. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever tried to run a business? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Now, I have to say, I am not a very good businessman. One time, I actually had somebody give me a coffee shop. They said, I like the way that you do business, and I'm moving out of the area, and I'd like for you to have my coffee shop. Rent-free. I will sign over all the equipment, everything in it, and you just have to pay the bills as they come in. And, so we tried to use that to supplement the income and to use it for outreach. And you know what? I found out that, you know, it requires about 60 hours a week to run a business. It takes about the same amount of time to pastor church. And after about 8 months, it was one of the ones I figured out I was not doing a very good job at either one of those because I was having to split my time. But, it was definitely an interesting time of my life, and I don't ever want to do that again. I like pastoring. All right. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some business transactions that happened in the book of Genesis, and we're going to find out somebody who made it work, and he made it work because of the hand of the Lord. All right, so we're going to kind of just a scripture that we pick up from last week to give us a time stamp here. And it says, as soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, and that's his father-in-law, send me away that I may go into my own house and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. All right, it's time to go. We remember that, Jacob had served Laban. He said, I love Rachel. Oh, she's so good looking. She's gorgeous. I'll tell you, I will serve you 7 years if you'll give me her hand in marriage. Laban says, sure, go ahead. If you were here last week, you know what happened is he snuck in a different bride. So he worked 7 years and got the bride that he didn't want. And so Laban, being shrewd or crooked, every how you want to look at that. Sometimes there's not much difference in that. He said, I tell you what, you can have them both, but you got to serve me for seven more years. And then on top of that, he gave each one of the girls a maid. And if you were here last week, you understood that was a whole lot of messed up stuff there. So if you want to know more about that, you can go online. You can download the sermon. You can listen to that to get the full context. But he worked for 7 years, 14 years, excuse me. Four wives. He had 12 children, 11 boys and one girl. And you know what? He honored his word. And that's something to think about that. You know, most of us, had we been hoodwinked like that, we'd have walked off the job site, wouldn't we? What? You promised me this, and you're trying to give me this? Man, this is not going to work. But he honored his word. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially when we feel like we have been wronged. Somehow we think that gives us an out. Well, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, so I don't have to do what I'm supposed to do. We talked a little bit about, a couple of weeks ago, about how we act under covenant and how we act under contract. You see, God's thinking is covenant thinking. Covenant is based upon the faithfulness of God. A contract means that, you know, as good as I am to keep what I said I will do, and as good as you are to do what you say you'll do, then we'll have this kind of relationship together unless one of us messes up. You know, that's a contract. That's not covenant thinking. Covenant thinking is where, you know what, as the Lord provides, I will do what the Lord has called me to do. Now, 14 years, he's ready to go. But you know what? He doesn't have two nickels to rub together. Because everything that he has done is working off his debt for his wives. And so we see here, Genesis 30, 27, 28, it says, Laban says to him, if I have found favor in your sight, it's kind of odd, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it. Wow. Good help is hard to find. And when you get a good worker, you want to keep them. Isn't that right? And he saw that, he says, I can't believe it had to take divination to know that God, I mean, here was, he had a couple sheep together, not very many, and Jacob shows up who everything he has learned has been secondhand, because remember, he wasn't a shepherd, he was a guy who liked to hang out in tents, and the Lord has blessed him, given him knowledge, and given him favor, and Laban wants to keep him. All right, name your price. And so the negotiations begin. Jacob says to him, oh, you know yourself how I served you and how your livestock have fared for me. For you had little before I came and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my household also? So he's starting out these negotiations. First, he's showing him, it's like, hey, you know that God has blessed you because of me. He states that pretty clearly there. I don't have anything because all that you see around here, all this is yours. It's time for me. What's going to happen? Oh, they negotiate. They come up with some terms here. Laban says, well, what should I give you? And Jacob is like, give? What do you mean give? I'm going to earn this. Oh, he says, you yourself know how I served you. He says, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flocks and keep it. Notice he says, if you'll do this for me, I'm going to pasture your flocks. He says, let me pass through your flocks today, and I'm going to remove every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and every spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer to me later. When you come and look into my wages with you, everyone that is not speckled or spotted or among the goats and not black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be considered stolen. Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. Man, this is something because Jacob has come a long way. Remember, what's Jacob's name mean? Cheater. What did he do? He cheated his brother. He deceived his father. He has been a scoundrel. But God, we talked about that last, God has been working on his heart. God wants to conform each one of us into the image of Jesus. And he uses the situations that we go through to achieve that. And we have to get on board with what God is doing. All right. So what do we see happening here? Okay. All these sheep that are speckled and spotted and the lambs and all that. This is, we'd call them recessive genes. So these are the ones where there should be the fewest number of those within the herd. And remember, he said, all the ones that we find in here, those will be mine. That sounds pretty good. These are my terms. But something happens. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and the spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and the spotted ones, everyone that had white in it, and every lamb that was black, and he put them in charge of his sons, and he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastored the rest of Laban's flock. Wow. Hey, we're going to go through here. And notice he said, today we'll go through here. I'm going to go through and I'll pick out, this is my pay here. Laban's ass, good idea. So he has his boys go out first and take all the speckled and spotted sheep. Now, if that were us, we would say, you broke your word. Man, we agreed to this and man, I can't believe there's not a single one. I have an idea that you have sent somebody out here and that you have gone through all the flocks here and you've cheated me. You know, our way of thinking, that's like, hey, you didn't keep your end of the bargain. I don't have to keep mine. But Jacob knew that God was going to bless him, and God was going to make it, was going to make him rich, and God was going to bring him back to his father's house. God has promised all these things. And even his greedy old father-in-law can't get in the way of what God has promised. Now, when God makes us a promise, he is as good as his word, because he works on covenant, not on contract. We have to remember that. We have been called to be covenant-minded people. We keep God's covenant because, you know what? He's already paid for it. We need to walk in it. So after this bad faith move, you know, something kind of odd happens. And oh, let me just read this to you. It says, then Jacob took some fresh sticks of poplar and almond and palm trees, and he peeled the white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. And he set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the trough, and that is the drinking places. And when the flocks came to drink, and since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks bought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs, and he set the face of the flock towards a stripe, and all the black of the flock of Laban's. And he put them in his own droves, and he did not put them with Laban's flock. Now, some people have looked at that and said, what in the world is going on here? And you know what? I don't know. Because this should have absolutely nothing to do with what color sheep come out. These actually have, I mean, hey, I was a gym coach, which means I had to take a whole lot of health classes. I've had biology. I've had a year of general biology. We talked about genetics, and nowhere at any time did we talk about carved sticks. You know, it's one of those crazy things. Jacob got in his head that if I do this, then something is going to happen. Now, this is not a natural thing. We can't go out and carve up sticks and put them in front of whatever, and they're going to come out a different... No. You know what happens here? God intervenes. That's exactly what happens. Because this will cause absolutely nothing. So if you've ever raised cattle, you'll know that this is a true statement. If you ever had a biology class, you'll know this is a true statement. But God intervenes in the situation so that Jacob is going to come out ahead. Now, he does not trust entirely upon his stick thing there. But you know what he does? He does selective breeding on the flocks. Now, it says so if we take a look at verse 41. He says, whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks into the trough in front of their eyes. Remember, that doesn't do anything. But that when the feebler, he would not lay them in there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger would be Jacob's. What he's doing here is he's taking the stronger sheep, he's putting them together. And the weaker ones, well, those are Laban's. Remember, God has intervened, and so now what has become a recessive trait, spotted and speckled and all that, now that's becoming dominant. That is, he is allowing this to happen. You know, God changes the rules of nature whenever it suits him. Say amen to that. He opens eyes. He cures the blind. He raises the dead. He heals bodies. Whenever it suits God's purpose, God changes the natural order of things. But you know what? Many times God operates within the natural realm. He uses the natural realm to accomplish his will. Now, God knows how to stack the deck in his favor. He knew what to do, how to prompt Jacob to do the things that needed to be done. God tips the scales in the right way. You know, this was probably something that Jacob had learned as he had been home and as he had talked to the servants, and he had found out a little bit. Because remember, he's not a shepherd by trade. He's a mama's boy by trade. But God has blessed the work of his hands because he has believed God, and so he is doing his part. And we, you know, that's one of the things that we need to get a hold of. We need to do our part in the natural. Man, how many of you got somebody you'd want to see come to the Lord, get saved? Oh yeah, that's most of us here. We do all that we can, but you know what? There's no way in the world I can save anybody. You can bring somebody to me and I can pray for them, but I cannot save them. I do the natural, you do the natural, you talk to the people. You explain to them, you engage them. But you know what? Until the Holy Spirit moves on a person's heart, you can talk till you're blue in the face. But if you don't do your part to bring this person to a point to where they can make a decision to receive the gospel or not, God works within the natural to accomplish the supernatural. Because the saving of a soul is a supernatural event. Let me take a look here. God honors hard work. Genesis 30:43. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. God blessed him because he stepped out. God blesses him because he didn't say, "Well, you know, Laban, you cheated me, so I'm just going to sneak off in the middle of the night." God blesses Jacob because Jacob works within the covenant. The covenant says, according to God's faithfulness, not according to man's faithfulness. Sometimes we get things a little backwards there. We get disappointed when a man disappoints us, fails us, doesn't accomplish what we think the man should. But you know what? I'm going to fail you. I'm going to do some wrong things. I'm going to do some things that you don't agree with. That's okay. You're going to do the same thing too. But God is always faithful. And God will bless you as you work hard. You know, whatever you put your hand to do, God will honor your hard work. Now, good work is godly work. One of the things I want you to kind of take away from this first part of it is that as you're working for Jesus, as He's the boss, well, notice this. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God blesses hard work. And you know what? If you'll do that, you'll stand out in today's workforce. If you'll show up when you're supposed to show up, if you'll work the way that the Lord has called you to, and I do believe that each one of us has been called to the position that we are in. Whether you're working at the landfill, at Walmart, working in the church, God has called you to the place that you're at, and we're supposed to work as we're working towards God, not as we're working towards a man. Because remember, men will disappoint you. But if you'll work hard, God blesses the work of your hands. See what it says here? It says, the work of our hands. Sometimes we want prosperity because we have a head knowledge. But biblical prosperity is not that I give $10 in the offering and God gives me $100 back. Biblical prosperity is whenever I work hard, like I'm working for the Lord. Now the Lord blesses the work of my hand. God cannot bless sloppy. If you're going through the motions at work, you don't care, you're doing your 9 to 5 just to get the paycheck, you know what, that's exactly what you get. But if you're working as unto the Lord, He blesses the work of your hands. Jacob was working for a cheater. That's something, consider what his name meant. And what happened? He works hard and the Lord blesses him. Now, a couple of points here is how you can work to the Lord. And this is for all of us all the people who hold a job. You need to go the extra mile. Some of us look at it and say, well, this is my contract. I'm going to work to the contract. Here's what Jesus said. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Think about your work in that way. If Paul says to do this much, why don't you do this much? You're expected to have this much output? Try this much output. Because remember, who are you working for? If you're working for the man, then you know what? The man's what you're going to get. If you're working for Jesus, Jesus blesses the work of your hands. Remember the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. As you would have men do unto you, do also to them. Think about that in terms of your service. You see, if Jacob had just said, well, you know what? Laban cheated me, so I'm going to cheat him. Remember, God can't bless your sin, but God can bless your hard work. You work not how your boss treats you, but how you want your boss to treat you. How's that? You work not to give the customer this much service, but to have it this much. Because you would want them to do that for you, wouldn't you? Think that mindset. This is covenant mindset. Contract mindset says, I do this, you do this, you give me 10 bucks. Covenant says, I'm working for Jesus. I'm going to do the best job I can. And I talk about getting value. All right, here's another good one. Because sometimes we look at these things in a church context, but I want to put these in a work context. Let this be simple. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything else comes from the evil one. If you can do something, you tell them, I can do it. If it's beyond your capability, say, no, I can't do that. Give an honest answer to what your capabilities are, what you can do. I went to a store just this past week, and I asked them if they could do something for me. They said, sure, we can. Then they did nothing. I would much rather them say, I can't do that, but if you'll come back at this time, I think there might be somebody here who can do that for you. Always let your yes be yes and your no, no. Okay. Strive for well done. Remember the parable of the talents. Remember, it's okay to spiritualize this, but why don't we also take a look at what it says literally. Here's what the master says to the servant who took his talents and who doubled them. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Face it, when you're working, you're expected to produce something of benefit, right? Why don't you go above and beyond and not just the bare minimum? You need to strive for well done, not just good enough. You need to go above and beyond. Also remember the rules of sowing and reaping. The point of this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Once again, we often think of this in terms of church. Sometimes this gets bought out when we take the offering sometimes. Well, think about this in your own life. Now, this is a statement that makes no sense, but we all understand it. Give 110%. Give as much as you can at work. Man, when your company succeeds, you succeed. And notice that. Promotion, I didn't put this scripture up here, but promotion comes from the Lord. If you are going the extra mile, if you are doing the golden rule, if you are going for well done, if you are sowing bountifully, then the Lord is in charge of your promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. Exactly that. And that means that you have to change your mindset from working for the man to working for the man, Jesus Christ. For whatsoever you say or do, you do as unto the Lord. Now also, remember God. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Give as the Lord has prospered you. Matter of fact, this is what Paul told a group of believers. He said, hey, those people who used to be thieves, don't let them steal anymore. Let them work hard with their hands, so they'll have something to share with others who are in need. You know, we work hard with our hands. We allow the Lord to prosper it. And we remember to give to the Lord as He has blessed us. Now remember, Jacob has tried to enter into a contract with God. He said, God, if you'll do all these things that you promised, then I'll give you 10%. And God says, I'm going to bless you. Enter into my covenant. We don't give so that we get, we give because we're part of the covenant. All right. Now one of the things that just might happen to you as you are working is success sometimes has its problems. Genesis chapter 31. Now Jacob heard the sons of Laban saying, Jacob has taken all of our father's wealth, and from what was our father's, he has gained all of his wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. People are going to be jealous of your success. People were jealous of Jacob's success. Because remember, you're working for the Lord. The Lord is blessing Jacob because he is operating covenants. But you know what? That doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy with you. So what happens? God speaks to him during this time. Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. You see, this is God's timing and God's plan. Everything that we go through, remember, God's timing, God's plan. God has orchestrated all these events. God's blessings were upon Jacob to cause him to leave. Sometimes we take a look at that. None of this caught God by surprise. God didn't say, oh wow, I didn't realize everybody would be jealous of Jacob if I blessed him. God is in charge and aware of everything, and he works all things out for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That includes your work life as well as your spiritual life. And so remember, God sets things up, and I want you to think about this. God's blessing, well, it caused the rift. It caused Laban to be upset with him. It caused the sons of Laban to be mad. This is God's plan. God had decided that he was going to bless him to the point where Laban and the sons were so jealous that Jacob felt uncomfortable that he had to leave. Because you know what? Contentment sometimes is the enemy of us doing what God has called us to do. Could you imagine if everything had been great? If Laban had said, oh, that's okay. Hey, I know I cheated him, but you know, so God is making these things, you know, oh, God, that's on me. Yeah, I cheated. Come on, Jacob. Please forgive me. Hey, you stay here. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to return the ones that I stole from you. Sometimes contentment will get in the way of what God wants us to do because we settle. Which is always something we have to make sure that we are listening and we're obeying and we're doing all that God has us, because prosperity can sometimes cause contentment. And if we settle, we may not reach the goal that God has called us to reach. So what happens? Well, Jacob calls two of his wives. He says, so Jacob called Rachel and Leah in from the fields where the flocks were. And what does he do? He begins to establish facts with them. Notice, he says, I see your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. But the God of my fathers has been with me, and you know that I have served your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not permit him to harm me. Now that 10 times, that is basically probably just a figure of speech. We don't know if he cheated him 10 times or 20 times, but it means completely. He stole the sheep in the beginning. He has tried to change the deal afterwards. And so what does he do? Jacob brings his wives and he establishes the facts, because this move that's going to make is going to impact them as much as anybody else. And you know, he had within his power as a man in this culture just to say, all right, everybody, load up, we're going. But he doesn't. Calls his wives together. He talks to them. And then, you know, he does something. He shares the dream that God has given them. The dream that has pushed him into the realm that he needs to go. And what does he dream about? First off, he dreams about the process that he did to get the sheep to come out the right color. Or the wrong color, depending on your point of view, I guess. That becomes part of it there. So he brings in the familiar. And then once he's brought in the familiar, it says then an angel of God shows up and he says, Jacob, here I am. And he says, lift up your eyes and see all the goats and see all the flocks. Look at all of them. And he says, for I have seen all that Laban has done to you. It's like, man, look at all those flocks there that you have there. They're all speckled and spotted, and there's a great bit there. And you know what? Know that God has done this for you. And so what does the angel say? He reminds him, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and you made a vow to me. Now arise and go out from the land and return to your land, the land of your kindred. He's reminded him. Hey, that whole Jacob ladder thing. Hey, time has come. It's time to go. And you know, I still believe that the Lord speaks to us in dreams today. And you know what? I do believe that dreams were meant to be shared. You share your dream, just as Jacob shares his dream with his wives. It produces the change in them because they're going to speak up now. They've been silent. Well, relatively silent, at least about their dad. They've fussed at their husband enough. But Jacob sharing his dream with his wives encourages them to open up and be honest about their feelings about what has transpired. And so these two wives, which is all of a sudden, it's like Jacob is sharing with them. And the input, and then Rachel and Leah answered him. They said, "Is there any portion or inheritance left for us in our father's house? For we are not regarded him as foreigners." Man, they did not like being traded for 14 years worth of hard work out of their husband. "For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money," the bride price. "All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do." So Jacob sharing his dream with his wives. They open up to him about how they're feeling. And guess what? They are on board with whatever God has told them. My friends, share your dreams. Because you know what? We need people to come alongside and to help us foster our dreams. Help us to do what God has called us to do. And sometimes, especially whenever our dreams interact or impact other people, we need to share what those dreams are, so that they can understand where it is we're going. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels and drove away his livestock and all of his property that he had gained, the livestock and all of his possessions that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, and to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. 500 miles. We're going to learn a little bit more about that later on. Takeaway of this. There's a right way to leave. You hear from God. You see, this is what prompted Jacob. You know, God has plans for you. We all love the verse, you know, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." We need to make sure that we're hearing those plans. We need to hear from God. Whether it's changing your job, whether it's moving from Socorro, whether it's moving to Socorro, whether it's changing your major, you need to hear from God, which means you have to be in communication with Him. God cares about every part of your life, not just Sunday morning. Now, we've looked from this. Talk to those who are affected. Probably should be affected on that one there. You know what? When God gives you a plan and it's going to impact other people, you need to talk to those people who it's going to have an effect on. There's always a right way to leave. And you know, we're going to find out as we study on. Jacob didn't actually do everything right because he sneaks out in the middle of the night. There's a right way to leave. Notice, hear from God. Talk to those who are going to be affected by it. Notice, give notice. This is what he didn't do. What do we say? Give 3 weeks notice? Give 2 weeks notice? You talk to your boss. You talk to your wife. You talk to your kids. You decide on a timetable. Because, you know, I've known people who've shown up as someone who worked at, you know, had a business for a while. I had somebody just didn't show up. Don't be that person. I've been that way in church. I've had people who were there sitting on the front row loving Jesus and all that. All of a sudden they left. Never knew where they went. Found out they'd moved out of town. Found out others just went to another church. Always a right way to leave. When you leave, you want to avoid creating anger. That's kind of the opposite. A lot of times, you know, if you want to get mad enough to quit. Have you ever been in that position? Just kind of frustrated, and you got yourself mad enough to quit, and you quit. Don't do that. No matter what you're talking about, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a church, whether it's moving, whatever it is, avoid creating anger within yourself or within others by your actions. There's a right way to leave. All right. Last point here, and then we're going to bless the meal. Make it so you can come back. Always leave good. Because I remember one time in college, worked for Kmart Some of you will know what that is. Other people have no idea. You know, I left Kmart twice. And they hired me back both times. Because another job came along, paid better, had better hours, whatever. And I left the right way. Talked to Dot Skaggs was her name, our hiring person there. I guess what we call that today? Personnel. And Dot liked me well enough. And I told her, hey, Dot, I've got an opportunity to go and do this. And it's going to pay better money. She's like, okay. When's your last day? Oh, what, 2 weeks from now. Well, the job didn't work out. I came back and said, it's like, Dot, can you hire me back? Sure. Quit another time. Gave a notice. Hey, got another job. Didn't work out. Came back. Dot, can you hire me? Of course. You know, you make it so you can come back. And don't get good and mad and try to make everybody else mad before you leave. Man, remember, you're working for Jesus. You want to make sure that if you need to come back, you can come back. And make that in all your relationships. Whether we're talking about interpersonal relationships, church relationships, business relationships, you know, all these things work. All these steps I list here have worked for regardless of what your plan or station is, whether this is something spiritual or something material. Hear from God because God has a plan for you. Talk to those people who are going to be affected by it. Give notice. Avoid creating anger within yourself or others. And leave and make it so that you can come back if you need to. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for all that you've done for us. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we go from here. Now, Father, for the food that we are about to receive, Lord, we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, we ask that you would that we would please you in all that we do. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.